Blog Talk Radio.
Bud, it's Crew Chief Q. Welcome back to Speedway Anywhere, your podcast magazine for all things motorsports and maybe even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. Feel free to join the show. Call 917-889-2053 or email us speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. The inbox is checked throughout the show. We are live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. That's Minnesota time for those who aren't aware. We have some feel-good news and some not-so-feel-good news before we recap the weekend results. Let's drop the green flag and go hammer down. Top news is obviously Robbie Wickens. Rookie Robbie Wickens of the Indy Racing League. In the IRL race at Pocono Sunday, on lap 7, Wickens and Ryan Hunter-Reay got together, sending Wickens up into the fence, and he cartwheeled before landing on the track, still spinning. The great news is, though, what otherwise has proved fatal in some of the IndyCar series races, we'll get to more of the history of that later. But Wickens survived and was conscious and verbal with safety workers. He was airlifted to a Pennsylvania hospital where he was found to have what they are calling orthopedic injuries to his legs and arms. He also has a bigger injury, and that is a contusion to his lungs, bruising to the lungs. So pulmonary injury that will require surgeries. There was four more involved in the wreck, including Ryan Hunter-Reay, of course, the initial car that Wickens tangled with, Peter Fittipaldi, and Takuma Sato. The only other injuries reported were when debris came into the cockpit of James Hinchcliffe. Hinch said his wrists were hit, but not broken. Hinch was sidelined on a few occasions throughout the years when he suffered life-threatening injury from debris piercing an artery. Nonetheless, it was scary. It was. And then another, which was a concussion as well. Peter Fittipaldi also suffered leg injuries that had sidelined him for quite a while, and he had just returned from them. So Robert Wickens was running sixth in points and the top leading rookie with podium finishes this year. Speedway Anywhere hopes all involved make a full recovery, and we can only wish them the best. Not sure what this is going to mean going into the next IndyCar race at Gateway as far as James Hinchcliffe. So, we'll see. We'll give you the news on Thursday when we come back for the weekend precap. And hopefully it's a little better news for him. More news from the weekend. Love or hate Kyle Busch? There was a meathead that tried to lynch Kyle while riding to a meet and greet from the infield at Bristol. And he has got way too much credit. He's been splashed all over the internet, yelling at Kyle. Basically, Kyle was on his golf cart, same golf cart, or looked the same as the one that I was lucky to put my daughter on at Kansas back in 2014. But Kyle was riding on the golf cart, getting a ride when a douchebag tried to grab Kyle, tried to put his hands on him. Security and track workers quickly jumped in, but part of a group of onlookers and obviously Kyle Busch haters were cheering the guy on, egging him on, telling him to get Kyle. That was on Friday. That was the night of the Xfinity race. I hope that moron or morons that were egging it on were ejected and not allowed to return for the main event Saturday night. There's just no room for that. I mean, come on. Love or hate him, Kyle is Kyle. He makes the sport exciting. I'm sure that they're mad because of the wishy-washy hand movements that he made on his eyes after him and Kyle Larson fought it out. Kansas, I believe. And Kyle had stated, if you don't like that kind of racing, don't even watch. I get that. There's a few that aren't going to like that kind of thing being said on TV as a fan. Well, too bad. I love it. Keeps it heated, keeps it real. I have more editorial on this coming up on both subjects, but let's get to the weekend results. Kurt Busch was basically already locked in the final 10 race chase, but he put an exclamation point on his winning for the first time in 2018. That victory, even though he was already running fourth, he's still running fourth. But that victory locks him in regardless. He could sit out a handful of races and still make the beginning of the chase. Kurt was holding his own, but it was the last two restarts where he outfoxed Clint Bowyer, who was leading going into the last two cautions, meaning that Clint Bowyer was in first when Kurt Busch passed him going into the next caution. And then Clint Bowyer fell even further on the second restart after Kyle Busch, who brought out the second to last caution. Kyle Busch got into Martin Truex, by the way, for the first to last caution. Into Truex's left quarter, he spun Truex, where Truex collided with the walls. This caution hurt Kyle. He had a lot of damage. Kyle's car had the damage around the fuel inlet. His crew had to pull sheet metal away to fuel his car, which lost him a bunch of positions. He needed another 7 gallons to finish the race at that point. This took Kyle back on the restart. Not sure which position, but the restart was led by Bowyer with Kurt in second. Kurt beat Bowyer on the restart. Bowyer fell to second. Kyle ended up in a three-wide wreck because of his position. That brought out the next yellow. When the race resumed, it was Kurt's lane choice with Bowyer running second. Now, the outside lane seemed to move faster, so this time it was Kurt's lane choice instead of Bowyer's lane choice. The outside lane moved much better. Bowyer, he ended up getting moved back on that restart. Not sure if there was a tire spin or whatnot involved. And Kurt went on to the win. Bowyer finished sixth. The three-wide wreck that caused the final yellow relegated Kyle Busch all the way back to 20th. While we are talking about top five in points, might as well mention Kevin Harvick, who is obviously a lock for the choice. Chase. And he had early trouble, ended up salvaging 10th place. So as it goes, it was typical Bristol night race that had kind of dried up after the the progressive banking, and they widened out the wall on the what's considered the front stretch. The back stretch is a little more narrow. So it was the big wreck fest and unpredictable right up until the end. I wanted to touch on something here. When the race resumed with Kurt's lane choice, Bowyer, I don't know exactly what happened. Bowyer was on the inside. Prior to the other restart, previous to that, Bowyer had lane choice, obviously. And Bowyer chose the outside lane. But Kurt Busch made it happen. Bowyer's car was not good for restarts. Running order. So it ended up, obviously, Kurt Busch with a victory. First victory of the year. First one to truly lock him in to the chase. Second was Kyle Larson, that is. He snuck into second. Chase Elliott benefited from the attrition and the cautions, ended up in third. And before Kyle Busch nudged Truex, it was Clint Bowyer, Martin Truex Jr., and then Kyle Busch who brought out that second to last caution. So, whole different picture when it came down to it in the end. Let's see. Chase Elliott benefited from the attrition to take third. Logano got a top five by finishing fourth. And Daytona July winner Eric Jones rounded out the top five. The top five is a completely different picture, all but Kurt Busch. I mean, he was the only one in that top five going into that final two cautions. As far as points go for the championship chase, not much change except for Kurt Busch being a lock with a win now, though he really was already a lock based on points. Kyle Busch is top. Harvick second. Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, Joey Logano, and Chase Elliott, Eric Jones, Austin Dillon are your top nine locked in with wins. Of course, we got to remember Austin Dillon is way back in like 20th, I believe. If it wasn't for that win at the Daytona 500, Austin would be on the outside looking in, and Jimmy Johnson would be a little safer. Ryan Blaney, he's actually passed Keselowski, who hung in there in the top five in points, but Keselowski has no wins right now. A couple races, he could do it. We'll see. Penske horsepower seems to matter. And with Indy coming up, that could be what Keselowski will, well, based on points, he's doing pretty good, but that could be what Keselowski needs to win his way and lock himself in too. So Ryan Blaney passed Keselowski in points. Kyle Larson and Hamlin right behind. And Hamlin's now back to lucky number 13th. If you look at the positions for the final 16 going into the chase, Hamlin had been holding in there in the top 10. It's no longer the case. Eric Almirola, too. He's back in 14th position for the chase. Eric Almirola, the odd man out, driving Danica's old number 10. He was doing so well this year. I thought he might be right there with the rest of the winners in the Stewart Haas camp. Of course, you got Kevin Harvick, you got Clint Bowyer, you got Kurt Busch. Eric Almirola, the Stewart Haas camp, is the only one without a win. I think he'll be okay. He's got plenty of space between him and Jimmy Johnson, who is in the 15th slot for the chase by points. I think if Johnson is going to lock in with a win, the next race at Darlington is his best bet. Based on it being a driver experience track, it's more of a driver skill. It's not so much about horsepower as how you handle that egg-shaped oval. And it's about one of the oddest tracks, along with Pocono, maybe go into road courses, things like that. But yeah, Darlington is a driver experience type track, and we know that Johnson's got the experience. The next race at Darlington is going to be probably his last chance. The Chevys have not performed the best on neither horsepower, except for, well, Chase Elliott with the win at Watkins. Horsepower on Indy, I just don't see it happening. I think that's going to be another Ford or Toyota. Speaking of, too, Alex Bowman, Jimmy's teammate, he's the guy on the final cusp. He's probably the most at risk from somebody outside the top 16 backing him out, pointing him out, winning him out, however the case may be. And even if Alex Bowman does make it in to the chase, I bet you he's going to be one of the first four eliminated. Hate to dog on the guy. He's got to get more experience in the Chevy camp, and with the Hendrick camp not performing this year, it's not looking good for him. Cup returns after taking this weekend off and will race Labor Day weekend on Sunday, September 2nd at Darlington. This is also the second to last race before the chase. Only the Brickyard 400 remains before the chase after Darlington, before the chase begins at Vegas. More on Cup news in a little bit. I'm going to go for a quick little voice break, and we'll be right back to talk some trucks under the lights at Bristol. We'll be right back. I apologize if my notes sound a little unorganized. It was a scramble to put today's show together. I will be on another show tonight, and I've been a busy little boy scrambling to put all this together. So
even Kanye makes more sense than you.
Well, right now he probably does. Thursday Night Trucks. Thursday night is a big deal for the truck series. That solidified their chase. Thursday night solidified the first of the three big NASCAR series for their chase races. Before we get to that, Johnny Sauter was a man on a mission to make up for taking second on the last lap pass at Michigan when Brett Moffitt made his move and passed him, coming to the start-finish line. Sauter won Thursday and is taken first going into the truck series. Final seven races for the chase. Stuart Friesen, who has made his mark in truck, took second, followed by John Hunter Nemechek, who's not a lock for the chase and won't be. Parker Kligerman, same story, but he took fourth. Todd Gilliland rounded out the top five. Now, I don't mean to toot my horn, but Todd Gilliland is my pick for next year in the truck series. Not as a champ, but as a guy that's going to be beating everyone up. He's been winning in ARCA. He's performing in the truck series extremely well. And tooting my horn, remember, I chose Noah Gregson at the beginning of the year to be a standout in the truck series, and Noah Gregson has been. And he's also made the chase as well. So let's go to point standings, seeding points in the truck series chase at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park this coming Sunday, August 25th. That's where the final seven races of the truck series chase begins. First seed, Johnny Sauter. Second, Brett Moffitt. Third, Noah Gregson. Fourth, Ben Rhodes. Fifth, Stuart Friesen. Sixth, Grant Enfinger. Seventh, Justin Haley. And multi-time champion Matt Crafton is the final one, coming in at eighth in the seeding as far as playoff berths. By virtue of playoff points and stage wins is how they stack up. There are, of course, Justin Haley, who has a win, but he's seventh seeded. He hasn't won the stages. He hasn't got those bonus points that he needed. But hey, you win, you're in. So that is how it all comes down in the end. The truck series will take a much needed break. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but they, after their first chase race at Canadian Motorsports Park, I believe they're off from Darlington for Labor Day weekend. And then it will be put up or shut up time after that. I'll get to more of that schedule on Thursday. By virtue of playoff points and stage wins, and that's your top eight. Trucks, like mentioned, return next Sunday. Xfinity Series. They ran under the lights on Friday at Bristol for their own little werewolf fest, where the fangs came out, lots of wrecks. I had a good time, by the way, doing the show with Jesse, our bumper monster, on doing the truck series on Thursday. I'm mixing up my words. Time to press the reset button for just a second before I put you all to, you know, but Xfinity series, they ran under the lights Friday at Bristol. X-Series has four races left before the chase begins at Richmond. Bushwhacker Kyle Larson took his first win at... Oh, that's just got to stop. This has gotten ridiculous. Much better. See, when your own producer, engineer, writer, broadcaster. All right, back to the meeting. Bushwhacker Kyle Larson took his first win at Bristol Friday. First win at Bristol ever, be it trucks, be it Xfinity, be it Cup. This Christopher Bell, who's dominating the Xfinity Series points now, took second, followed by Series regular Justin Allgaier in third, and fourth went to regular contender Cole Custer. Bushwhacker Joey Logano, another Cup driver. They capped off the top five. So I still have a problem with that because right now the door needs to be open for the win you're in scenario. And when Cup Series regulars are racing in the series, this doesn't allow for that. As far as chase first, Christopher Bell is first with four wins, Allgaier with three, Adler with no wins, Custer and Daniel Hemric, third through fifth, no wins to any of them to lock them in. A lot of races they ran second to a Cup driver. So that's how that has interfered. Tyler Reddick, he's got one win. He's in sixth place in points and will advance beyond that. There isn't any sure bet for the rest of the field that has to either point or win their way in. The Xfinity Series heads to Road America, Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, on August 25th for another of their four road courses of the year before they go to Darlington, then Indy, and Vegas will be their final race before their chase begins at Richmond. So it's kind of all over the as far as the chase scenarios. Like I said, the Truck Series Canadian Motorsports Park begins this coming weekend. The Cup Series will see their first chase race at Vegas. And then the following week, the Xfinity Series will see their first chase race at Richmond under the lights September 21st. Now, I want to get to some editorial about driver safety on two points, one on the track and one off the track. But let's cover the IRL results and the NHR fund. The IRL, after all the bad news and good news about Robert Wickens, Alexander Rossi finished the race in first place, followed by Will Power in second, point leader Scott Dixon in third. Sebastian Bourdais pulled off a top five in fourth, with last year's champ Joseph Newgarden rounding out the top five. Scott Dixon is still leading the points. Alexander Rossi is putting the pressure on Dixon with a win and in second. He's putting the pressure on Dixon with a win in second. Newgarden is third. Will Power gained a few points, but he's still in fourth. Ryan Hunter-Reay involved in that early wreck with Robert Wilkins ended up fifth in points after that. IRL will race its third-to-last race and final oval of the season. The next two will be road courses, but they'll race at Gateway once again, August 25th. Pretty busy day, even though the Cup Series has that weekend off. I'm kind of excited at the fact that we're starting to whittle down what the actual championship fields are starting to shape up like. And one of them is the NHRA. They have one more race before they set their field of 10 each to show it down in the final six races. So the fun feel good is that top field points leader Steve Torrence was in the semifinal to almost race against his dad, who doesn't run a full-time schedule. Steve was knocked out in the semis, but his dad, Billy, advanced and beat Antron Brown. Antron Brown actually beat out Steve in the semis. But it's cool to see Billy back. I had to take a breath before I said Billy back. By the way, Papa Billy's first top field win. He's raced in many other series. The Antron Brown has came on as of late. He's kind of back in points, but he's doing just fine going into the final six race showdown as far as a top 10 position in points. Courtney the Force, my pick for number one in last week's Dude, Who's Your Car? She was eliminated in the semifinals bracket to Jack Beckman. Beckman went on to beat Tommy Johnson in the final. Funny Car Series, it's quite a wild card, but Courtney obviously put on the Force early in the season, and there's no way that she's going to be knocked out. She's already a lock. Beckman's a lock. Tommy Johnson is a lock. And here's news that Kurt's going to love. John Force, he locked himself into the final six showdown races. He's in seventh. Nobody can push him any farther back than 10th. So 10 in, six to win. 10 cars in, six races to win. First, he's got to beat Courtney, though, who's atop the points. Steve Torrence seems to be the A1 to beat, even though his daddy has got his eyes on stealing a few finals along the way. Not sure what Billy Torrance's schedule is going to be from here on out, but he runs a limited schedule. I know he's excited to go to Indy. He was talking about it after his win at Brainerd, of all places, right here in Minnesota, in my home state, a couple hours away from me. But it was just really cool to watch those guys do something up on the majorly improved Brainerd International Raceway. As far as pro stock, it came down to Tanner Gray got the win, I believe. But Greg Anderson still leads the points. Tanner right behind. Erica Anders still in third. Erica Anders was eliminated in the semifinal bracket. So that top three is definitely locked for the final showdown. Now, I want to get into the editorials, but I'm going to wait for a call here and take that from there. I think we're, darn near 15 minutes in since the last break. So I'm going to go ahead, throw the bumper music, and take a look at something. I got to check on some results from before I go to the editorials. I wanted to make sure that I included the World of Outlaws as well as ARCA. So Donnie the Schwartz, as Kurt loves to call him, I love to call him Donnie the Trots or Donnie the Squats or whatever the case may be. But yeah, he doubled up. River Valley Speedway, West Fargo, North Dakota. He took, he sweeped the River Cities. And he also won. By the way, this is a little crazy part. He won the World of Outlaw late model series that were in support of the World of Outlaw Sprint Car series. So,
you know, I'm wondering, you know, that song from that musical Hamilton, which by the way is going to be here shortly, which by the way, 40 tickets are for sale right now, which by the way, they're really cheap, but they could probably get about $1,000 for them, even at the State Theater here in Minneapolis. But I'm wondering if he wakes up every morning to that My Shot song from the Hamilton soundtrack.
Oh,
people probably bring up that song to him.
There's just no way. You know what he has to be waking up to.
What's that
song by LMFAO with Little John? Shot, 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 shot.
Oh. But I'm still wondering. Since the first time I heard you talk about him, I think about Laverne and Shirley on how they worked at Schott's Brewery. Here you go. There could be a reality show with him and John Forth. And at the beginning of every show, we're going to do it, you know. But it could be Donnie Schatz and John Forth. Schmeisel, Haagen-Dazs Incorporated. Do-do-do-do-do-do. We're going to do it. You know.
You know,
and instead of showing shots of Milwaukee, they could show a bunch of racetracks.
Funny when you mention that, because that's like you're talking to Haagen-Dazs Incorporated.
I don't know what they
about
say
beer.
In there. Yep.
I know. One of these days, I'll have to look up those lyrics and just figure out. Sorry, I'm juggling some stuff here on the ARCA page because I didn't make notes because I had to sleep. Sometimes you got to sleep. And when you wake up at 5:30 Central Time, Minnesota, there's not a lot of time to gather the last of what you should have been doing earlier. So,
plus it's gray and cloudy here too.
That brings to mind something. But I'm not going to talk about it because September is still a month away. Well, almost. So, yeah. As far as the shots in the World of Outlaws, he pretty much owned the thing the whole weekend after I made a rule that I cannot choose Donnie shots. And now he goes and wins. I'll get to your results in just a minute. Christian X, Eckes, not sure how that's pronounced. He took the Springfield, Illinois Fairgrounds race on the dirt for the ARCA series. And what... You know, this is really goofy. Have you ever seen the results from a race saying not running, not running, not running, all the way from first to last? Never seen that before, but that site needs work. So, yeah, he took first. Point leader Sheldon Creed ended up second. Logan Sivay. In third, Travis Braden and Ryan, you know, Sharon's going to kill me when I am online with a fan for racing tonight because she knows her ARCA. I'm looking for that. Okay. Brett Holmes. In the 52 was in sixth place. When I talked to Sharon on the Fan for Racing show the other night, I was guessing that, I mean, and Kurt, you might agree, the 52 car in the ARCA series, it's owned by Ken Schrader. Mm-hmm. When the ARCA series goes to dirt, wouldn't you put your money on a Ken Schrader car with all the experience that that kind of team has on dirt?
I might have to see on how Ken Schrader did on dirt. Of course, it was so long ago, but you might just so that knowledge of racing period though, I'd actually go more with that. They probably know how to handle a car pretty good.
Well, as far as building which tire needs traction on which end of the car and things like that, I bet you Ken Schrader's got collectively more experience than any one of the teams that fielded those cars.
Oh, God, yes.
So,
and I might have to lean him more toward him. I forgot Jeff Burton's son.
Harrison.
I might have to lean it more toward Schrader's team, though. Although Harrison Burton's probably gotten some great advice from his dad, but just from that time frame, it's a little hard. Hard to explain, but you know, just because of the time frame that Schrader and Burton clearly raced each other, but you know, now Now, Harrison's uncle, I don't know. There's experience you cannot beat. His uncle. I mean, you know, his uncle.
But
exactly. Exactly. God, I still love Ward Burton. Oh, man, when he won. Oh, God, I love to see him do good. Nobody hated
right.
Ward Burton.
One thing that I got to touch on, Harrison is not a full-time driver in the ARCA series. He was not on the dirt at Illinois Fairgrounds. So he kind of moonlights in every series that he's running. I know that he does run pretty much a solid K&N East schedule, but Harrison, by the way, was supposed to start the Thursday night race in the truck series at Bristol. He had to sit out, and he had to sit it out, wasn't feeling good, and Christopher Bell, the point leader in the Xfinity series, ended up driving that truck. So, no, Harrison was not at Illinois Fairgrounds. Not sure what his remaining schedule is for either the ARCA or the truck series, but I will keep those entries in mind as we go into every Thursday for our weekend precaps. Now, all right. Here's my editorials. When you consider the Indy cars like that and the wreck that Wickens had and the injury that killed Justin Wilson at Pocono, and the one for Dan Weldon in 2011 at Las Vegas, where the head injury, I mean, have you noticed that the top fuel cars are, they now have a hatch, kind of like a pilot's cockpit in a fighter jet?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's time. I think the, and as far as the impacts, when somebody's getting their legs broken, obviously that's not going to protect them. But as far as the head injuries, well, it's time for a hatch. Those cars need to be enclosed. I know people will be disappointed. They're used to the old school Indy cars predating the 1980s and before, where there was a tiny little roll bar right up above their helmet. I doubt that damn thing helped them much. But between NASCAR and NHRA and the Indy series, they need to come up with something better. Of course, you know, what they call the tub in the RRL, the carbon fibers and all this other stuff, which NASCAR really doesn't use except for a seat, maybe. Other than that, it's still metal.
I'm wondering.
They should share the information and just make it that much better. NASCAR is the one that mandated the safer barriers, the energy absorbing walls, and that's benefited the IRL because, hey, the IRL was not requiring those at the tracks that both them and the NASCAR major series share.
I'm wondering if in, like, a, you know, drag racers, what their biggest concern when it comes to safety in that car is, because, you know, we've all seen them catch on fire, even from the inside. And, yeah, they can take off real quick, and we've seen them airborne. But I've always wondered, is it fire? Is it fire for the NHRA? Because, NASCAR, Earnhardt, his deal, though, that just seems so simple. Simple. I mean, and the walls, though, you never would think about it, but, oh, God. I mean, huh.
I don't know the exact number, but they said that the impact that Earnhardt had at that T-bone of the wall could have been reduced by X amount of numbers as far as G-force. Would it have saved his life? I don't know. Would NASCAR have paid as much attention to safety had somebody of such a huge name not passed away due to the incident? I'm guessing they wouldn't have.
I don't believe that either. And that too, and probably one of the wrecks, though. I remember when it happened, just hearing it on the news, it was, the Kart Series, and Rick Mears didn't really follow racing that closely, but seeing that week, it was kind of like, oh, man, is he even going to make it? And he did. And he was racing not that long afterwards, but his accident, though, it was just Jesus Christ. I mean, and I remember as a kid, people would tell me their cars are so light. Richard Petty, Bobby Allison, they're a little bit heavier. They still get hurt, but, and then what happened this weekend, it was kind of like everything he's got going on right now, but it sounds like he's going to make it, which is good. But, it just seems like you don't hear anything about drivers getting hurt, and then all of a sudden, once you hear one, you're hearing a lot more about it, about more than one.
Well, one thing about the Robert Wickens thing was it wasn't actually heart-related. It wasn't actually arterial-related. It was a massive contusion to the lung.
Yep.
And he's going to need some surgeries on that. The rest is all peripheral. I'm not sure if it was his right or left arm, but one or the other was broke. There was also breaks in his lower legs. Now, as far as the compartment of an Indy cart, even if they went to the hatch, you're still going to have that in those areas. I don't know where to go with that. I'm not the expert. I just have my own little insinuations on this.
Well, even what happened there in Chicago this year, at that weekend, how the heat. I mean, and these guys do race in Daytona in July. You would just think the humidity, which, nobody can do anything about it, but those temperatures in a stock car, if a pit crew ever just throws water on everything, just, oh, God, and, ugh.
Well, you got to give consideration to the fact that the Twins were down there that weekend, and there are players being pulled out of the game and they're in the open air.
Yep.
So when you start to consider that these guys are in these cars that are producing more heat than what the sun is putting on the earth, and we're going to talk about the sun in just a little bit, you know, that's its own kind of injury. I remember Ricky Rudd when he won in Martinsville when he was still in the number 10 Tide car, what, 1998, I believe. There was vented areas of circles behind the seat pad. His seat pad had melted, and there was literally burn circles in his back. Sorry, I'm trying to charge my phone here. I have to be online with another show in, oh, I got plenty of time. I got over an hour. So, yeah, as far as safety hatches, that's not going to be the perfect solution. As far as IndyCar, IndyCar has put, if you take a good look at their cars, there is a way that they have created fenders, even though it doesn't cover in the way that like a Can-Am type car and whatnot does. But next subject. Douchebags that get in autograph lines or otherwise. This is going to screw up things for all fans. I mean, you've seen the fan zone area at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw the way that Kurt Busch walked through with his guard on each side.
Oh, yeah.
And no one really said much to him except for, well, the guy behind us didn't say it to him, but as Bush just walked by, everyone was silent. No one said,
yeah,
Kurt,
yeah.
Kurt. No. And then the guy that was behind us just said, asshole, right up until the end. And
yeah.
At that time, I thought that Kurt Busch was on his way out. I really did. I mean, after all the BS with his ex-wife or girlfriend or whatever, and the way he treated the media. And I mean, I'm not going to say he's grown up. I think that money matters more to him now. He's realized that you want to live this millionaire life. You're going to have to keep your mouth shut. And that's exactly what he did as he went by us. Now, in the case of that, though, if somebody hated Kurt Busch enough at that point, don't you think they would have jumped right over mine and your back and went at him?
Yeah, and two, part of the fun in any sport is disliking someone. But when you get to a point where you actually want to kind of get into something physical with somebody, I know it's only sports, but it's almost a, dude, you got to go into it. You got to get some damn psychological help there because it's entertainment. Well, I'm getting on football here, okay, because I got hospitalized for 5 days, and the first day was when the Vikings and the Eagles are in the NFC title game. Yes, people, I'm going to admit something here. I was at the hospital, and I went outside and had a cigarette. But I got my Viking jacket on. I'm coming back, and this girl
Hi,
just
Kira.
Said, I I'm coming back in, and she, and I'm limping, and I'm in crutches. And then this girl goes, you got fucked up just like Anthony Barr fucked up Aaron Rodgers. And,
chill
and,
out
you
on
know,
Oppenheimer's.
And, you know, I mean, but, you know, I mean, it's just like, kind of like, people, it's sports. Just calm down. And plus, it's kind of like, we're all sitting here in a damn hospital.
Well, here's my take on that part of it, too, is when people get in fights at Buffalo Wild Wings in Columbia Heights because one's a Packer fan and one's a Vikings fan, or
yes.
there's, you know, the Packer fans outnumber the Vikings fans or vice versa, and people get so damn serious about it, and, you know, they start with you know, even a guy wearing an Elway jersey. And meanwhile, another's wearing a freaking Ponders jersey. I mean, turn off the TV at that point. I mean, just, no, be done with it. That's over with. That's, you are not, first of all, you're not on that team. I remember being on hockey teams where we'd lose a game on the park board level. Our only retribution would have been to go and start a fight with the opposing team, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, but when somebody's watching their TV and Kyle Busch does his wishy-washy thing, you know, rubbing his eye with his knuckle, what is that sound? It's really loud.
Oh, it's coming from outside.
Oh.
Somebody's car broke down outside the nursing home.
But, yeah, when the fan watching the TV gets mad at Kyle Busch because he did this wishy-washy thing with his knuckle and then tells the fans, if you don't like that kind of racing, don't even watch it. When Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson, you know, we're moving each other around fender to fender, bumper to bumper, you know, all that stuff. I believe it was at Kansas. I mentioned it earlier in the show. And, but this, these people hate Kyle Busch so bad that they're going to run him down on his little transport cart that they actually want to get their hands on him, and then other people in the crowd are, yeah, kick his ass, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, that's too much. I got to finish this up. We look at that as, oh, that's a fan with passion, blah, blah. No, it's a freaking retard. I want to know who this guy is. And then the other fans around him, how they're cheering him on. I'm like, you know, I wish I was on the infield of Bristol because I would have waited for that guy to go into one of the porta potties and I would have tipped the damn thing over on him. If he wasn't already arrested. Well, he wasn't arrested. But the thing is that was Friday. Right?
Right.
So, I'm guessing these people had tickets to the main event on Saturday night. You know, Saturday night, under the lights at Bristol, the big thing. If the track officials and NASCAR and everyone didn't pull their access to the Saturday night race. Shame on them. But I'm guessing they did. So
yeah, that's,
you want to kick Kyle Busch's ass, and but you don't get to see the Saturday night under the lights at Bristol. Who's wishy-washing their eyes with their first knuckle now?
Yeah, it's fun to be obnoxious, whether it's at a sporting event, even concerts. Part of it is being obnoxious, but you know, you at the end of the day, you go home. These people, they do not. If they go home, I've oftentimes wondered, oh my God, I hope they don't go home, because who's ever living with them, it's going to be a fun ride. Just one more thing. At least in like, especially in like Britain had people killed at soccer games. They're having so much funner, and they're still getting drunk at soccer games, but they leave. There nobody fights or anything. Where now, you know, here it's, you know, like I'm going to bring up the deal about wearing my Viking jacket. It's kind of like, fine, you're going to beat me up because Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Come on.
Well, it doesn't take a genius to get on YouTube and look up, I don't know, people smashing TVs.
Yeah.
It's not people throwing TVs out the top window of a 10-story apartment building. It's people right in their living room throwing stuff at their TV. Big old freaking man cave TV.
Yep.
Because their team just lost.
Yep.
People get overzealous. And for those who don't know the definition of the word zealous, it's somebody that just eats, breathes, and sleeps something.
Yep,
I had a friend
exactly.
That was a poet. He was so zealous of his work. It was a pen on paper. Man, if you touch that damn thing and you got your fingers oil on that piece of paper, he was hardcore, man.
Yeah, and
he was a poet zealot. Of course, from Fargo Moorhead, but, you know, whatever.
I will admit, with fantasy football, I would get pissed. I wouldn't get pissed at the other people, but at myself, if I had one of my players screw up, and it's kind of like, after a while, it wasn't fun, then all of a sudden I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to have a lot of fun with this. I became a big dork about it to the point where I wasn't taking it as serious. But it got funner to the point where, you know, and even a guy like Kurt or Kyle Busch here, you know what's going to happen? Because this guy hated him so much. People are going to find out good things about either one of them. I got tired of Jeff Gordon. Guess what? I found out some things non-career related to him. And I actually started to like him, you know. Granted, he wasn't winning as much, but, you know, and like my deal with Jimmy Johnson personally, I don't have anything against him as a guy or as a human being, but some of these people, it's kind of like, geez, I mean, these guys aren't the Antichrist, and you shouldn't watch it then.
Well, it's like, to me, that's like watching the same show over and over and over and over.
Exactly.
Over and over. And, you know, it's, we got to see a new show.
Exactly.
And this is that year. Johnson's not the dominant force.
Yep.
So, show's going to get tight soon here. But yeah, with Johnson, he's on the cusp. He's not out, and I think that Darlington might be his place to pull it off, because you know what that track's about. You don't just let off the gas and then get back into it going through the turn. You got to finesse that gas pedal. And then on the other end, it's a tighter turn, and you got to – there is no apex. So the braking zones are entirely different on both ends. You know, that 1.3-mile egg-shaped Darlington, that might be Johnson's chance. It takes a driver with experience. Now, I still don't think that Hendrick has the horsepower. If somebody like a Ryan Newman or Jamie McMurray, who also has the experience and the horsepower, steps in and wins that one, Johnson's going to be one step closer to the edge. And then, of course, we got to consider Indy. So, yeah, as far as fan access, I just hope that Moron, like that guy, and his supporters don't screw it up to the point that we got to be like a ball game where you can't come out on the field and watch it, you know, because that's, to me, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
All right, let's skip ahead. I got about 15 minutes. Dude, who was your car?
Well, Mr. Boyer had a nice little run.
Yes, he did. Now,
I'm the best ever. Thank you to Jesse.
He almost got you.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in that race, it was 1 and 2.
Yep.
Before the last two cautions.
Yep.
Technically, you win. So I got to give you the point. Courtney, based on semifinals, took fourth. Clint Boyer, of course, took sixth. Now, when you figure that Courtney was fourth of 16, she figures into the 25 percentile. Now, 6 of 40, don't make me do math. I'm not going to be able to. And we got more math coming up in a little bit here.
Effenheimer.
But 6 of 40 versus 4th of 16, you get the point. So, Captain picks up another one. He's got 2. Crew Chief still has 3. And Bumper has yet to score. And Bumper Monster, if you want to play, you got to call in every Thursday. Or at least email the show. Or, well, maybe we can just Facebook message. I don't know. You got to keep your zero score going. All right. I'm going to look at something and we'll be right back. I don't think I've used that one yet.
That's Brittany. That's her way of saying the Effenheimer. That's the way you got to say it from now on. I've heard people just say holy F word, freaking, but nobody, they'll only say Effenheimer when they don't want you to say the real word. So from now on, people, let's start a new slang term. Instead of saying the actual word or freaking or the F word, how about we just say Effenheimer? From now on, that way people will know what you mean.
Hey,
start saying Effenheimer.
Something's better to that effect. You dropped two in a row earlier.
Yeah, it was just a bad time, though.
We can talk shit. It's the Effenheimers that really get people going.
Yeah.
I can't let my children listen to this. Hey, so I want to bring up Fan for Raisin. I had a brief little chat with Sharon. blogtalkradio.com/fan, F-A-N, the number 4, Racing. I will be on there roughly 9 o'clock Minnesota time tonight. Having a little recap of this show and, of course, weighing in on subjects about the Kyle God, you can tell I'm tired. The Kyle Busch subject as far as fan access, and if this could make NASCAR and the tracks reconsider fan access. So, I don't think it's going to happen right now, but if it goes on too much, I guarantee they will. Especially
do you think, though, that they will actually do it, though, at some point? Because they are where you get that much access, and that's what they're known for. They've been doing that since they started. It was fan access.
I disagree.
I don't know if it'll get to that point, though, unless it gets really, really, really bad.
I disagree because NASCAR for years, I mean, no women or children allowed inside the speedway walls. It wasn't until later on that they started to create, you know, sure, you had the tunnel, but they weren't using it for, like, the train that we road at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't, no, there wasn't no fenced off areas where, okay, people with these credentials are allowed to go here. People with these credentials were allowed to go back in the garages. People with these credentials were allowed out on pit road. That is where it's designed right now. Now, there's a lot of stipulations that I don't like. And I only know of Chicago and Kansas who have cup races. Iowa would probably be the same if they had a cup race. But there was a deal where if you didn't get season tickets, the Busch race, the Cups here. Oh, okay, Xfinity. So sorry. If you didn't buy full package tickets for the entire year, you wouldn't be allowed in the fan zone at Chicago. You wouldn't be allowed in the fan zone for the Cup race at Kansas Speedway. You wouldn't be allowed, you know, those kinds of things. And maybe if a guy was to have to purchase that kind of package for Bristol, he wouldn't be so willing to just go and screw it up by trying to lynch Kyle Busch. I don't know. So, anyways, 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes ago, I mentioned I'm going to be on Fan for Racing, blogtalkradio.com/fan4, F-A-N, 4, racing, in about, I got to be on there in about 40 minutes. What the hell is it? The Hubble?
The Parker Solar Probe?
The Goddard Space Station? What was the original 2001 Space Odyssey?
Oh, God, I don't even know if they had a name.
And then 2010, when us and the commies went up there?
Yeah. I don't even recall having a name for that. I know Roy Scheider was in that Sequest show, now that you bring up 2010. Yeah, that was not art in it. Impersonating life there in 2010, because we didn't have a problem with the commies in 2010.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's one thing. Every time that movie pops on,
it took until the 2016 election.
Yeah.
All right.
Go.
All right. So, my point being, we got this mega horsepower machine that's the fastest thing built on Earth. 430,000 miles per hour. Remember back in school, you'd read those tests and they'd be like, if two trains or two cars, one's going 65 miles per hour, the other one's old grandma going 15 miles per hour, but they're both a block apart, which one's going to hit which one first? You know those whole math lessons that we used to take?
Mm-hmm.
We should have paid attention, because I'm trying to figure out where the damn Parker Solar Probe is right now.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Since I'm the captain of the Enterprise, it definitely would not be to Venus, because you would need some time to get up to that amount of speed. It's way past the moon. It's probably not to Venus yet, though.
You know what, though? I chose Courtney Force. It took her a lot less time to get up to Clint Boyer's max speed of 180 miles per hour. And Clint Boyer. But that's all right. You still got the point. All right.
He has to turn that way every once in a while, though.
All right. I'm going to have to bail. We are at the end of the episode, as it says on my screen. 4 minutes to go, and I'm going to cut it just a little short because I got to get ready for the next show I'm on. Victory Lane goes out to Crescendor Young. Crescendor Wilson. She got to go home this week after a nasty wreck on her bike. She spent well over a month at Hennepin County Medical Center. They're talking about doing physical rehab at an actual facility, whether at Hennepin County or elsewhere. They sent her home. She will be provided physical therapy care to take care of her injuries. So, victory lane to you, Cressy. So, time to beam us out.
Kerpla.
Kerpla.
Kerplunk. I'm becoming a Klingon.
I'm worried about the Kerplunk. What if the missile didn't, or the rocket didn't launch properly?
Oh, yeah. Well, Mr. Tesla guy, his company's in a little bit of trouble lately. Hopefully that doesn't screw up his rockets.
Hey, here's a point for you real quick as we have just over 2 minutes. They said that it's going to circle the sun's corona. You know what corona means?
Yes.
What does it mean?
The corona's the outer, isn't it?
It's the crown. In Spanish.
Mm. Okay.
So, technically, Crown Royal from Canada is Corona Royal.
Hmm.
And technically, Corona Extra from Mexico in Canada would be called Crown Extra.
Hmm.
Let's let them just fight their own war and, you know, as far as Corona and Crown. So. All right, I'm bailing. I am going to put a freaking flush on this show. And we're gonna
finally, the show is over.
And I'm gonna head over to Fan Racing, Blog Talk Radio, Fan Number 4 Racing, and do my little spiel over there. So that will be right around 9 o'clock. All right, we're going 45 seconds to go. We're bailing. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, everyone who bothered to tune in. Tune in to Fan for Racing.
May the force be with all.
May the Courtney Force be with you. And John Force locked himself in with you in the final six races.
So, yes, he did.